Our brother Fred will exhort us this morning. Brother Fred.
Good morning again, my dearly beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. The table of the Lord has been prepared. On it are the bread and the wine. And shortly we will participate in the breaking of bread service, doing that which our Lord commanded when he said, "This do in remembrance of me." This very simple exercise has profound significance, brethren and sisters. This is no ritualistic performance, but rather, this is a matter of faith and a matter of eternal life. Would you open your Bibles to the Gospel as recorded by John and at chapter 6, please? Going in at verse 53. John chapter 6 and at verse 53, these are the words of our Lord and our Master. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." And again he emphasizes by repetition. Verse 56, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." These words were spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who declared, as we shall see shortly, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." Before we have a look at this theme by way of exhortation this morning, we want to just briefly examine the divine account and become aware of the events which led up to our Lord delivering the discourse on the bread of life. We have just read John chapter 6 in our daily Bible readings, brethren and sisters, this past week. Hence, again, the wonderful value of doing the daily Bible readings, as these things come out to us and they become alive and they teach us the lessons that we need to know. What a message we have in this chapter. Back in verses 2 and verse 5, we have recorded for us that a great multitude or a great company followed Jesus. And the reason is given as to why they were following Jesus. The divine text records for us, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. They witnessed his healing power, transforming the sick into well people. No other man had ever done such miracles. And while there may have been some thankfulness and some response to Jesus, for the most part, brethren and sisters, they were spectators. They were watching, they were listening, they were in a state of expectancy. They watched him heal. They listened to him preach, because wherever Jesus went, he was busy healing and preaching. There were very many that were sick. They were sick physically. They were sick mentally. They were sick spiritually. They were dying. And it was a state which was indicative of a far greater sickness in Jewry at that time. It was a spiritual sickness which pervaded the nation of God's chosen people. Brethren and sisters, Messiah was in their midst. The bread of life stood before them. the bread of life stood before them. And they were spectators. Listening. Looking. Looking for something other than what was really and truly there in their midst. Jesus was fully aware of their great needs as he ministered to them on a daily basis. Matthew discloses a beautiful aspect of our Lord when he records Jesus was moved with compassion toward them and he healed their sick. Our Lord had strong feelings and emotions for his people. They were the people of promise, God's chosen people, his fellow countrymen. He saw their sicknesses. He saw their diseases, their troubles. They were under the yoke of Rome. Brothers and sisters, there was a greater yoke they were also under. They were under the yoke and the bondage of the religious leaders of the time. He saw their hunger. He saw their thirst. And he saw the greatest problem of all. They were spiritually devoid. They were a dying people. They needed the bread of life that he was offering. The bread of life that he was there to present to them. But they were faithless and failing to respond. They were just spectators. Turn with me to the gospel as recorded by Luke. Two quick passages in Luke chapter 13 at the end of the chapter in verse 34. Listen to the feelings of anxiety that our Lord registers when he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Over in chapter 19, Luke chapter 19, verse 41. I want us to just grasp the feeling of our Lord as he witnessed and experienced these things among his people. Verse 41 records for us, And when he, Jesus, was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. He wept over it. And he goes on, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And then we come to the end of verse 44, where he declares, Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. The agony of our Lord as he witnessed these things. Back to John chapter 6. Jesus did what he could for the people. On this occasion, a multitude of some 5,000 was fed with the natural bread and the natural fishes. On the day following, we're told in verse 22, and as we come to verse 24, that the crowd sought for Jesus again. They were looking for him. They were out there. Where had he gone? After all, he'd slipped away and he hadn't informed them. And they go to considerable effort to get to him. Isn't time for a geography lesson, but considerable time to get to him, because he was now removed somewhat away from where he was. They were hungry again. They were hungry. Almost chiding him in verse 25 for not telling him where they, telling them where he was going. But what happens when we come to verse 26, brothers and sisters? Does he just say, oh, I'll do another miracle for you. If you're hungry, we'll feed you again. Now when we get to verse 26, Jesus faces the crowds. There's no miracle this time, but rather they're going to hear some very direct words out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to to listen to these words very carefully. This is not a history lesson this morning. It's the word of exhortation out of God's word. Verse 26, John chapter 6, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. He's telling them that their interest in him was very human, was rather superficial. They were there from a social aspect, as it were. You get to take care of the tummy. And he goes on and he says, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. That was his message, the message coming from the bread of life to those that were assembled before him. And they come back with a bit of a weak response in verse 28, and they're saying, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Is there something kind of dramatic we can be involved in or doing? No, Jesus says in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Believe on him whom he has sent. Amen, brethren and sisters, in verses 30 and 31. The most unbelievable thing. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then? What sign showest thou then? That we may see and believe thee. And what dost thou work? They're asking for a sign. They're asking for some other works, that they might believe. After all that he had done in their midst, they wanted something new, something different, something more exciting perhaps, something even greater than what was already there in their midst. And in verse 32, Jesus responds to them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He launches into the discourse of the bread of life, with the focus being in verse 35, where he declares, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Brethren and sisters, let's just allow this to sink in. He that cometh to me in faith, in belief, in active participation, he who puts on Christ and who walks as Christ did, shall never hunger. The phrase means shall never be empty. And he goes on to say, shall never thirst. The phrase means shall never be unsatisfied. And he's speaking to them in a spiritual context. They shall never be empty spiritually. They shall never be unsatisfied spiritually. What a beautiful promise. What wonderful assurance. That to come unto him and to follow him will result in contentment, happiness, being fulfilled, being satisfied. Tremendous words of exhortation, of comfort, of assurance for those who truly do partake of the bread of life in all of its aspects, with the greatest blessing of all in verse 40 being declared, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What a blessed hope we share in. Again, verses 47 and 48. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. verses 50 and 51. Jesus goes on again, emphasizing that he is the living bread, and that if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Making it clear that there must be an active involvement with Jesus. Active participation, active involvement with Jesus. The bread of life. We all want everlasting life. We want to be a part of that glorious coming age of eternity. And brethren and sisters, we most surely can be, and we will be, if we do what is required of us, by being actively involved in faith and service with the bread of life, not as spectators, not in a state of expectancy, looking for something else, looking around, wondering what else there could be, than what we've actually been given, literally been given, the bread of life, representative in this book, the bread of life, representative in those emblems that we will partake of in a moment. Verse 53. Our Master, speaking in this room this morning, for he is here, brethren and sisters, the bread of life is amongst us. And Jesus said unto us, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 53 is one of those qualification passages that we find throughout Scripture. It says, except ye. It's not a blanket statement that everyone will have eternal life. There's a qualifying factor there. And it says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. One of the qualifying passages we find in the Word of God. And I want us to dwell upon this as we come here this morning. It is required that a baptized believer must actively participate in the eating of bread and the drinking of wine on a continual basis. To be without this active association, brethren and sisters, without the Son, without the bread of life, is to hunger. It's to be empty. To thirst is to be unsatisfied. It's to be without hope. It's to be without life. But to eat his flesh, to partake of the bread in faith, to drink his blood, to drink the wine in faith, is to dwell in Christ Jesus and to have him dwell in us. The key is in faith. Not as spectators. Brothers and sisters, it places before us the extreme importance of the active involvement and participation in the breaking of bread service on a continual basis as we meet with our Lord. It emphasizes those words that are recorded by the writer to the Hebrews when he declares, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's a matter of life or death. The bread of life, the Son of Man, is in our midst, brethren and sisters. What is our attitude to this reality? What is our attitude? For many, there is the faithful response that sees them actively involved in being here on Sunday mornings regularly. They want to partake. They want to participate. They want to be a part of the bread of life, even as he commanded. The quote from Hebrews goes on, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, has another section to it, as the manner of some is. It applied then, and it applies now in our midst. Brothers and sisters, to forsake the table of the Lord in an ongoing manner is to place ourselves in a very dangerous position. It's to be without the bread of life. And the text tells us the results of being without the bread of life. We know there are exceptions. We know that there are those with sickness and old age. They can't be here. They were here when they could be. But occasionally, even for some of them, breaking of bread is important to them, and supplementaries are being held with them occasionally for some. And that's an alternative. That's an alternative that this ecclesia offers. If we can't come here, then we can go to you or them. That's how important it is that we partake of the bread of life. There will be those in isolation that obviously can't come and meet with us on a regular basis. They're in isolation. That's an exception. There will be those that will need some time to deal with the issues that they're facing in their spiritual life. Brethren and sisters, once a month, the arranging brethren of this ecclesia go over the registrar's reports. It's actually more than one report. It's often two reports. And it is with growing concern that we observe the increasing number of regular absences on a Sunday morning. And we must in concern state that this is not good. It is no good. Because of the implications that the Word of God laid out for us very, very clearly. We all need to take a part in whatever way we can. It isn't just the arranging brethren's responsibility. It's all of our responsibilities. To reach out and help in this matter. Brothers and sisters, this is not an option. It's not an option. Whether we come or whether we don't, or whether we come once in a while. It's the bread of life. This is no Christadelphian tradition. The last little while I've heard this branded the Christadelphian tradition. False words, my dear ones. Serious false words. It's a tradition, all right. Not a Christadelphian one. It's the tradition of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no room, no forum for excuses. There won't be on Judgment Day. It is possible to be among the crowd. It's possible to be among the assembly with the bread of life in our midst and to be a spectator. Come with me to Luke chapter 13 again for a moment. I'm going to read just a little section of scripture to you. It's mighty, mighty revealing. Luke chapter 13, going in at verse 23, you'll see that there was a discussion going on there asking about how many would be saved. And to save time, we come down to verse 26 as the discussion is going on. It's actually one of the scenes of the judgment day. And in verse 26, the response comes, "Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." And he says, "I tell you, I know you not. I don't know you." And they said, "We've eaten and drunk in your presence. We have partaken in this modern parallel today. We've been there. The bread and the wine have been passed around." These words, brethren and sisters, are being spoken to spectators. Spectators. Our Lord Jesus Christ continues in John chapter 6. And opens up for us another aspect of the partaking of the bread of life that is so essential. It's there in verse 63 of John 6. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So as we open out and move away from the concentration of just the breaking of bread aspect, which is at the top of the list, there is the need for the Bible readings. There's a need for Bible study. The bread of life has to be taken in. It has to be digested in order for it to be able to provide a strength for us through which we return unto Him the glory that is expected of us. Turn to John chapter 15. This is in the readings that we will be doing very shortly. The reading of God's Word. John chapter 15, that well-known passage of the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 1 of chapter 15. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Brethren and sisters, we have the bread of life in our midst. Is there any possibility that we can be here as spectators, living in a state of expectancy, looking for or waiting for something new, something extra, something different to happen? Maybe some sign, some new work that will tell us, the bread of life is here. We need to do something. Brothers and sisters, the bread of life is here now. And what we've been given is what has always been given and always will be. Nothing more, nothing less. Are we accepting the reality of the presence of our Lord, the Son of Man? The evidence shows that we are not immune, as an ecclesia, to the things that happened back in Jesus' time. Come now down, John chapter 6 again. Come down to verse 60. Verse 60 out of the divine text reads, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, that's the discourse on the bread of life, with focus on the partaking of his body, said that many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. We're not sure that we can handle this. It seems a bit heavy. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? There was murmuring in the assembly. Murmuring. Brethren and sisters, we have murmuring that is happening in our midst as well. And we need to talk about these things. Because the tragedy is that where there is murmuring, unless it's contained and dealt with, it leads to this. Come to verse 66. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Murmuring. Dissatisfaction. Got to change things. Got to spice it up. We're not happy with the bread of life that we've been given. Got to look around for something else. And here he is. He's here in our midst. Always has been and always will be. Spectators, or rather, the response of the 11 and of the spokesman Peter, verses 68 and 69, after Jesus turns to them and said, "Will you also go away?" And there's Peter, all we love Peter. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Brothers and sisters, the bread of life is here. We've been given what we need. We've been asked to do certain things. And the promises are there, the wonderful promises and then results if we do these things in faith. It's the attitude and position that we, brethren and sisters, must take, accepting with confidence and assurance those things that have been declared for us. Becoming actively involved with the bread of life in each of its aspects. There must be no murmuring. There must be no looking around for something else. No excuse forums in place that I only need to do this whenever I feel like it or whatever. We can't treat our Lord that way. He who hung on the cross and died that we might have life. Bread of life is here, dear ones. The bread of life is not out there around us. You don't need to be tripping off somewhere else looking for something. The bread of life, the Son of God, is here in our midst. We want to be very aware of the ways in which we could find ourselves tripping off out into Christendom. And thinking that we'll find something out there that'll assist us. We won't. Let us never do it. We have to be in the truth and the truth in us. We must eat of the bread of life. And these things are so easily available to us. This is the part that's sometimes hard to understand. So easy. We live in a country where there's no hindrance to be able to be here, to be a part of the ecclesia, to be actively involved. It's so easy to eat of the bread of life. And we need to do so in faith. In faith, brethren and sisters. We're coming up to a new ecclesial year. The election sheets are out there. Are we prepared to give of ourselves for the Lord? Or have we maybe got our reasons, more truthfully, excuses as to why we can't serve? We're asked to partake of the bread of life in all of the aspects, dear ones. And if we do, we have been assured, as we've read through this divine text, that there is everlasting life waiting for each and every one that associates with Christ in faith. Not as spectators. May we use the time and opportunity that is left to us to full advantage, dear ones, for soon we shall stand before him. We shall stand before him who died for us. What will be the results?